You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, ah!
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you on Hump Day Wednesday. Almost to the weekend, guys. Almost to these NFC and AFC championship games, which we'll talk more about today. And Mike Bell, last night we got a chance to go and visit with some clients. We start the show today, man, by saying a big shout out and giving some love to the guys at Haviland. Because these guys, a couple of years ago, when we went to the Super Bowl in Houston, I believe it was for the Super Bowl with the Falcons, were a big sponsorship group, should I say, that was a part of getting us there. But we got a chance to hang out with them last night and watch the Hawks. But a big shout-out to all the guys that we got a chance to meet and their friends and family.
Yeah, and they've been on our side since basically the jump of the show when you and I started working together, when we decided late 2014 to go on the road and watch the Falcons with a slim chance to make the playoffs, go to New Orleans. They underwrote our road trip down to the Big Easy, where I set a new land speed record. So they're good guys, car guys. We had a lot of fun with them. And also a lot of fun because, A, the amenities were amazing, thanks to our buddies, Salsa and everybody down there at State Farm. But it was a great game. And, you know, we always joke around about I want to get to Zion / R.J. Barrett. But when your team starts playing that way they were playing last night, it was just you can't look at the big picture. You get caught up in it, and it was so much fun to watch.
It really was. The future is bright. That's what I tweeted last night. Now, don't get me wrong. I still have my immediate goals, right? There are long-term goals, and then there are short-term goals. The short-term goals are I want to see Trey to continue to do what he's doing, and John Collins. And listen, Bembry played great last night, and we're going to get into the game itself. But Mike's right. When you're scoring points and you're competing that way against one of the better teams in the league, it kind of gives you hope that, okay, we keep adding pieces, we're going to get to where we need to be.
You know, Bembry was all above the rim last night, making steals. I mean, the last few minutes when it looked like, you know, there was a chance they were going to crawl back in it, Bembry started making some big plays. John Collins, I mean, he's doing this every night, and that's the thing. I mean, he's not by any chance a household name because we don't have the exposure nationally yet, but the Hawks fans who've been going down to State Farm are watching know just how good John Collins is.
Yeah, Collins is doing things, man. But 26 points for him last night. Trey, again, 24 and 11 assists, guys, and this is what we talk about. I think he makes guys around him better. He gets Collins easy baskets around the basket. Some of the passes and ball handling he displayed last night was impressive. So, you know, I don't want to get caught up in the comparison thing. Trey is doing his thing, and he's playing really well. As we said, we'll continue to talk about that and get more into it as the show goes on. You can always text us. 404-741-0929 is our text line number, and of course you can call as well. Follow us across all social media platforms. 929 The Game is the radio station. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. This radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. Now, when Mike and I got down to the arena last night, we had just left the show, and I guess Mike had gotten word that this news was out there. I guess it was breaking on TMZ.
Right.
And he showed me, and we both kind of looked at each other and said, okay, well, what's this mean? And of course, we're talking about Tack McKinley. Now, for those of you who are not aware of this story, for whatever reason, and, you know, again, some of you, we think you listen all the time, and we know that's not the case, but Tack was undergoing a mental evaluation after police were called to a hotel in Los Angeles yesterday. And so when you initially hear that, Mike Bell, you go, uh-oh, like, what's the deal? We didn't want to rush to judgment. We didn't know what the situation was.
Right.
The report today from D. Orlando Ledbetter is that he's back in Oakland with friends. He's back home. Things seem to be fine, and to me, that's great news, but I know a lot of you are still saying, well, what happened? Well, maybe we'll know in due time. Maybe we won't. But either way, when you hear about mental health issues, Mike, you want to be careful because these things are serious and certainly are real in today's society.
Right. We used to crack wise on this stuff. You know, over the last 10 years, you kind of learned a new reality about, you know, you have using some common sense. And look, it could be anything as innocent as we said. We're not speculating, but you and I were talking about this last night. It could be anything as innocent as a friend misreading his mood or his signals and calling police, or, you know, it was a legitimate concern. And, you know, the police, whatever it was, they've let the man go. So there was no charges, wasn't arrested. There was some form of an evaluation that he was free to go. So, I mean, look, the Falcons, as they said in their press release, they're aware of it. So we'll see where it goes from here. But again, it's I know everybody wants, like everything else in life, when a story breaks, what happened? What's going on?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. And I don't think there's any sense in sitting here, other than what we just said, to sit there and start throwing wild, you know, stuff out there that we have no idea is true or not.
Dan Quinn and the Falcons did release a statement. We are recently were made aware of the situation involving Tack in Los Angeles today. And that was obviously late last night. Head coach Dan Quinn said, at the time, a situation occurs that is or could be related to mental health issues. We take it very seriously, and we will do everything possible that we can to support and assist Tack, as we do with our players with mental and physical well-being. So it's our top priority, and that's a statement from the Falcons. There's nothing really to say and expand upon that, except that, listen, we got Tack back, right? We want to see the best Tack McKinley. Mike, I saw his tweet the other day, and I had to laugh because he was like, Rams, we need you. And he's not the only one feeling that way. Of course, he's talking about the championship game. But he also said, you know what, I learned a lot this season, and I'm coming back, and next year I'm going to be a double-digit sack guy. So he gets it. And I told you guys, I think he's the best pass rusher right now that we have. I think he's a pure pass rusher and better than what we have in Vic Beasley. I think the ceiling for him is very high, but we want to make sure he's safe.
Yeah, it's the team's leading sack man with 7 sacks this season. And, you know, again, we got to get somebody in double digits to get higher up there, you know, in the stats defensively as a team. It's certainly more effectively getting teams off the field. But Tack is a big part of that. Like, he's an emotional guy. We saw that from the moment he was drafted. We've had some time with him in the locker room, you know, and he does wear his heart on his sleeve. So, you know, that's part of what he, you know, what makes him who he is. So, I mean, for people, I saw guys on social media comparing him to Simeon Rice. You have no idea what's going on. And so for those who don't know, Simeon Rice is one of the all-time great pass rushers, top 25, I believe, in the NFL. And he had some depression issues later in his career, but we have no idea. So, no point in speculating. Hopefully, we will get some more clarification on it down the road.
Yeah, this season, 7 sacks, ranked 2nd with 15 hits on the quarterback for Tack McKinley. We're just talking about on the field stuff. So that's where we are, guys, and you guys know this. I mean, if something happens or breaks, we're going to bring it to you. And if anything further happens with this story and we find out more, we'll bring it to you. But just to speculate is ridiculous. Hey, coming up, we talked about this, Mike, and the possibility the other day when we were over at Atlanta United's training grounds, and the idea was, what's going to happen with Miggy? And we don't know. But the other side of that is, what's going to happen with Joseph? And today we find out that Joseph is going to be here at least for a while now. And you know, for United fans, I see the reaction. Everybody's excited about this. I am too. But understand that if someone comes to Atlanta United with a crazy number for any of these guys, okay, there's a chance that they could be gone. But for us, knowing that Joseph Martinez plays such a huge role in what we do offensively, I love the fact that he signed through 2023 now.
He's such a great guy, and he wants to be here. That's one thing about Joseph. He said it at the end of the season. Again, at some point, and by the way, he's working on his English, and we're looking forward to, at some point, you know, maybe this year we can get a chance to, you know, talk to him up there or get him on the show, either way. But the dude wants to be here in Atlanta. And I know for some guys, the ultimate destination is Europe. He's had his taste of Europe, didn't like it. You know, he said, look, if you're not a Brazilian or an Argentinian, he goes, you don't get the juice over there, at least in Italy. So he loves where he's at, loves the quality of life, loves having his family up here when they can make the trip. And so it's fantastic. We got the most dynamic score, the Golden Boot, the MVP, and we got him for at least 5 years. Again, now you don't say no to the job or the offer. You haven't been offered just yet. So if somebody came and won a, you know, offered $30 to $40 million for him, I think Darren Hills would have a tough decision to make.
Well, that's the thing that soccer fans here in Atlanta, we got to get our minds around, because this is new to us, right? We haven't been in this for 25 years, and you get the gist that your best player could be gone because of international soccer and the way that it just is. I mean, again, if some team comes in, that's just the way it is. But I'm not going to rush to judgment with that. I'm going to accept this and say, hey, Joseph's going to be here. And until we know otherwise, that's what it is. It's the same thing we've been doing with Miggy. All the speculation out there is like, Miggy's going somewhere. He's here.
Right. We got three designated players on the roster. There's no room for Pity Martinez until Miggy would go. We picked up another designated player. That's what the DP stands for. When we get the kid Pereira from, I guess, from Watford, he's probably going to play with Atlanta United 2, as we talked about yesterday. Mm. But Darren Eales continues to make moves. So just can't wait for the season to get started. Unfortunately, we get a bad piece of news that yesterday, and I was joking around with Jason Longshore, who was in the office earlier. I don't know what kind of practice they had, if it was just a fall down and hurt himself, but Franco Escobar blows out his clavicle.
Yeah.
So he's out 6 to 8 weeks, and, you know, he's a guy that scored a goal and set up a bunch of big goals for you in the playoffs.
What do you think? These guys came back serious? Like, come on, man, let's play!
Well, I mean, we all know that you got to keep Brad Guzan away from him. I'm not blaming Brad if you're listening, Brad. And by the way, we're going to get you that six-pack of Hey Man Ale out to you.
A case, actually.
But, I mean, he's a guy, Escobar, that if you ever have broken, I've broken both my collarbones, it's the worst. It hurts literally getting out of a car. It hurts to breathe. So it's going to take a minute for him to get out there. But he is a guy that has certainly come on and shown why people like me were going, I don't know about this Escobar guy. And then you see the brilliance in his game and the things that he creates and obviously some just amazing goals that he scored.
Yeah. So congratulations, Joseph Martinez. And more on this story coming up, guys, but that's good news. And the thing we all want with our franchises, it doesn't matter. You know, Mike and I started this talking about the Hawks last night and, you know, the Falcons, whether it's the United, even with the break, you want stability. You want to know that your guys, especially your star guys, are going to be around. Baseball affords you that. That's what happened last year with Acuña not being called up the first couple of weeks because now they have him under control, player control, you know, team control, should I say, for the next 7 years or so. Sometimes the rules play in your favor, and then sometimes teams do the right thing. They extend guys when they need to extend them and take care of them, which gives the team stability in those areas. 404-741-0929 is our text line, guys. Again, you can text us and like the show on Facebook if you've not done so at 929 The Game. Find us on Instagram as well. Plenty of ways to get involved with the program. We got plenty of NFL news to get to as well today. And coming up a little bit later on, Dare Noka from ESPN, he's a SEC Network, is going to join us as part of our dog report. We'll get his thoughts on all these quarterbacks moving around. If you're just joining us, Jalen Hurts, former Alabama quarterback, is going to Oklahoma, transferring. He's graduating, guys, so he's going to be able to play immediately and steps in. Mike, you know, we were talking about it in the bullpen, and some guys are saying, you know, why Oklahoma? I think, one, it's a place where you can go still win right now and be potentially in the college football playoff. But I also think he wants to show that he can throw it around.
Yeah, because a lot of people feel that he is a more athletic game manager, you know. And then, of course, Tua came and took the, you know, his job away. And then he comes in, obviously, I'll tell you how it worked out in this most recent SEC championship. But I think in that offense, like, he's a great quarterback. He'll be a perfect fit. You know, the numbers have been so gaudy over the years with the last two Heisman Trophy winners. I don't think it's a step back for sure. I mean, I think if you're an Oklahoma fan, you're stoked. And you heard John Michaels today on the Midday Show with Rick. Obviously, Tate Martell, who I swear, Carl, he just looks like a bad guy in any 80s movie, you know, with like any of the Brat Pack. Or maybe a bad guy from the Cobra Kai and Karate Kid. But anyway, he goes down to Miami. He's going to go for a hardship waiver because of the coaching change. Even though the coach came from the staff, which was already there in Ohio State.
That's lame.
Look, again,
it's lame. It is.
You know, but you know,
you know what? He's mad because Justin's just coming.
I know,
and you know he's not going to play.
But the NCAA is handing out these waivers like candy at Halloween, so I don't think they'll block it. We'll see.
All right, man. More college football news on the way. Dare Noka at 4 o'clock. Right now, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
crazy. C-R-A-Z-Y. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith in town filming, or at least part of it, Bad Boys 3. Martin Lawrence used to say, crazy, deranged. Crazy is the word, guys. 72881. Text it right now. Message and data rates apply. Do not text and drive for your chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest. All right, man. We'll come back. We got headlines to get to. How good were the Hawks last night? We'll tell you next. It is Dukes and Bell, and coming up, we've got headlines. Also, we will talk more about Joseph Martinez and this 5-year extension that he receives from Atlanta United. Mike and I were just talking about Tate Martell, and this is the kid that was at Ohio State who transfers now, and the reaction. And you know, listen, we don't want to judge people, but I will say this. It's in our nature, and I'm not just talking about Mike and I. It's human nature to immediately see someone and judge them, okay? It's what we do as human beings. Now, what changes that, obviously, is how you interact with this individual, or you get to know them, or at some point, you know, they speak, maybe you speak, whatever happens, okay? But it either gets worse or it gets better. But there's never any in between. And so when you initially see somebody, and Mike's making the comment about Tate Martell and what kind of jerk he looks like he could be, and people are hitting us up going, yeah, this kid, yeah, you know what, Mike? I saw a special on him, and he is exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah, and it's just, like, as I said, the first time I saw one of these guys, it was Jimmy Clausen. And I mean, we joked around. We called him a squinch-faced creep, the kid from Notre Dame who wound up in Carolina. There's just some guys. You're right, though. Again, and you should never judge a book by the cover. You're exactly right. But sometimes, though,
but we all do
in this world, especially in the world of five-star and four-star quarterback recruits. Now that this is going to be the norm now, the new norm. There's just guys, and it was funny because I was neutral on him until I heard him cracking wise about Justin Fields coming up to Ohio State. You know, don't swing and miss twice now. You know, and then he realizes that he's going to have no shot. So he ducks, he turns tail and ducks down to Miami. But I just thought it was ultimately ironic that he's going to try to go for a hardship waiver when the coaching staff is going from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day, that was his offensive coordinator, yeah. And he was the backup quarterback. So it's not like they brought somebody from the planet Pluto in here to be the head coach. So we'll see. I mean, they are being very liberal with the way they're doling out these hardship waivers, but I don't know if this one's going to fly. Miami might have to wait a season on this dude.
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be and all of that. That's not the point. It's just how he comes off. And then he popped off.
Right.
And now he's the guy that everybody's laughing at. So, you know, he probably could have saved a couple of those tweets before this went down. But either way, man, the judgmental thing just happens. You walk up on people all the time. Bo does it every day. He walks in, looks at people in the elevator, and immediately judges them. It's what Bo does.
At
the gym. You do it every day. You see somebody, Mike and I talk about this. You see somebody working out, and you immediately look over, and you're like, And then you assess. So that's what it is, man. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. Brian, behind the glass, a.k.a. Sam Tarley. Cannot wait for Game of Thrones to start, by the way. See the new trailer? You seen it?
Oh, yeah. Looks great.
What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean.
Does it mean?
And for those that have not been caught up because they've been rerunning a ton of episodes, I mean, it's really going to require a lot of really skillful generalmanship and all the other things and the warrior spirit of all those people, to use Dan Quinn's phrasing, to beat the dead people that are now coming from the north. I mean, there's a million of them, Carl. They even have a frozen dragon.
Yes,
now.
They do.
It's really hard to figure out how the good guys are going to win this, and how the good guys are going to win when you get good guys fighting bad guys at the same time.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the show, that new promo, you're like, what? Wait, what? Right. You see the statues, and hold on. Anyways. Bo's behind the glass as well. He's producing the show today. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, man, let's start with the Hawks. Mike and I were there last night taking it in, and it was an exciting game. Hawks led. Then in the fourth quarter, well, all of a sudden it was a game, and Mike and I are looking at each other like, okay, this is where Oklahoma City takes over.
I told Carl, like, okay, well, we had a nice run. You're right. Here's where we see him really sort of crank it up. But we responded. Trae Young responded. John Collins responded. Bembry, all these guys kicked it in, man.
They did. As a matter of fact, Trae hit a big three-pointer in the fourth quarter.
Trae dribbling up high, shoots a long three. He's got it! Trae Young with the three. And the Hawks lead 132-115. I mean, that took big ones to shoot that one.
Damn right, Hall man.
It did. Here's what Trae had to say after the game in regards to the effort they gave last night and beating Oklahoma City.
We've been playing really well lately and been playing teams really close, but we just haven't got the end zone getting wins. So we wanted to get this win for our fans and for our city.
Yeah, they did.
Trae was 4 of 9 from the arc, and it was fun because, you know, as you said, it's a good team. Now they're a playoff team, obviously the Thunder, and you get to see, you know, Westbrook doing his thing. He goes for 31, and Paul George and everybody kicking it in. But this was, I mean, when it gets going, as you said, we all know the big picture. We're trying to get one of those top two or three picks. But when you're in that moment, as you said, to start the show, it was electric. It was a great vibe, just like when we were coming back from that deficit against the Mavs in the home opener.
It really was. Here's John Collins, by the way, who put up 26 points last night.
And inside the locker room, I feel like, or at least I think we feel like, we're not that far off. Like, a win like this tonight proves it. Like I said, I think we have enough firepower just to do what we want to do on both ends of the court. It's just a matter of us knowing what we have to do as players, as individuals, and coming together as a team and trying to figure that out. I don't think we're that far behind at all.
I love the confidence of J.C., John Collins, but slow your roll. I mean, come on. We don't want to win too much, all right? Here's the deal, guys. Cavs have 9 wins. Bulls have 10, as do the Knicks. We have 14. Don't worry about the Western Conference. Phoenix has 11 wins.
Right.
I really think we are vying against those three teams in the Eastern Conference for the number one overall pick. Now, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, Carl, we're just 6.5 out from the 8 seed right now.
Okay, slow your roll.
No, not being a Weisenheimer. Because
slow your roll.
We get the impression from our conversations on and off the air with Travis Schlenk that even if you were sniffing the 8, they're not going to invest. Kind of like where Danny Ferry was that year when he was like, no, let's not do this. We don't want to make the playoffs. And we did. We got the 8 seed, played Boston that year. But as far as this team in its present composition, there's some really big things. Look, unless you're not watching the Hawks, you see it every night. You know, you're seeing things going down where you're like, man, John Collins is money. Bembry, you know, granted, Bembry's been here a couple seasons, but, man, he was athletic as hell last night all over the place.
No, he really was. And this team's been competitive. And here's what I'm getting to. You know, we joke. But we're doing it the right way, and we're in games. We're competing. That's entertainment, guys. That's what you pay to go see. So it's not like we're getting blown out, being humiliated. From the standpoint of, you know, you beat Philly, you've beaten OKC, you lost by 3 on the road to Toronto, you were competitive against Milwaukee last Sunday. These are things that matter when you go, all right, where's this team at? It tells me Lloyd Pierce knows what he's doing because he's playing with less talent. But it also tells me that, Mike, if we keep moving in this direction with the Schlenk plan, we're going to be where we need to be. Real quick, I do want to address this because, again, it's so easy to see Trey and these other guys and you want to make the comparisons. I brought this up when the season started. But as you watch Trae Young, please keep in perspective that some of the all-time greats did not have the rookie season that Trae Young is having, okay? Steve Nash in his first year, 3 points, 2 assists. Tony Parker, 9 points, 4 assists. Gary Payton, 7 points, 6 assists. I'm not saying he's going to be these guys, but what I'm telling you is, and I go on and on, he is putting up numbers and assist numbers, Mike, that, you know, are really impressive. Those numbers are going to be, when it's all said and done at the end of the season, if he continues to do what he's doing, it'll be better than Stockton and Mark Jackson and Isaiah Thomas and Steph Curry. So he's having a really good year.
Right, and I just hope that ESPN, who cares about them? They give us zero love half the time in Atlanta. But, I mean, the Doncic thing is the narrative. But, again, nobody ever mentions the fact because it takes a bit of a brain power to mention, oh, by the way, we get another pick. You know, so as Trey continues to evolve and do his thing, look, right now Doncic looks much more complete because he came here from playing in a top league in Europe. But if you look at the big picture, we've still got another top draft pick potentially coming out of this deal. And again, we'll know who's got the higher ceiling down the road. But Trey last night was on. No argument there.
Salsa, there's your Hawks talk. It's Dukes and Belts, our headlines. Hey, story number two, really, and it's not, I don't think anybody is surprised. I think more than anything, the timing of it, maybe, Mike, and it's the Martinez getting a 5-year contract extension. Joseph Martinez, guys, if you're just joining us, gets a 5-year deal. It means a lot to him. He talks about loving the city. Mike kind of laid it out to you in the first segment where he's kind of hinted, not interested in going back overseas. That's from a personal standpoint. Now, there's a business side of this, but I just like the fact that the team committed to him.
Right. Now, Joseph keeps doing what he's doing. Anybody can come in, a team from Spain, perhaps. Again, he was an 18-year-old kid who played over in Italy, and he got sideways with a coach, and he was very, very happy to be over here in the States and getting a chance to do his thing with Atlanta United. But, yes, just like anybody on this roster, if the Europeans come a-calling, Darren Eales says, all right, let's do the deal, break out the checkbook. But right now, you know, hoping that doesn't happen, we've got him for 5 years, and we've got the MVP. You know, and we don't know the money. Zlatan got 7, so it's got to be less than that, I would imagine. But maybe 5, maybe 525. We'll find out.
Yeah. Also, guys, we talk about these quarterbacks transferring. Jalen Hurts is now going to Oklahoma. Kyler Murray declaring for the draft has been such a big deal, and everybody's reacting to it, including primetime. Deion Sanders on ESPN with Carrie Champion. She asked the question, you know, about what he believes Kyler Murray should do.
If I was in his shoes, I'm picking up the baseball bat, and I'm not looking back.
Why?
Because that's just for me. Like, I sometimes I still have regret that I didn't give it more. But, you know, I got a gold jacket in the closet. I'm straight. You know, but I wish I would have given it more. But for Kyler, that's tough at his position, and I don't think he realized the ridicule that you go through once you declare and say, I'm going to be a football player. Now people start talking about your height, your size, what you can't do. He hadn't dealt with that yet.
Yeah.
I think he could do whatever he wants to do. He's that kind of athlete.
You know, the NFL draft is just completely different than the baseball amateur draft. Unless you're a hardcore baseball fan, nobody knows, you know, half the kids in the first round. Everybody's going to dissect, size it up. A, that's an A. That's an A-minus. That's a D, you know, for any team that drafts this guy. So to Deion's point, it's a much more popular sport, all aspects of it, 12 months out of the year. But, I mean, you know, Deion – Some people said, I know Schuerholz had a problem with him playing both football and baseball, and it just didn't pan out here in Atlanta. But, you know, Deion certainly, you know, if he could have applied, because Deion will always tell you he could have been a much better hitter.
Yeah.
You know, if he could, but again, he's playing two sports. You know, we have Brian Jordan on. Brian was able to do it. Danny Ainge played baseball for a minute with the Blue Jays and then had the basketball option.
It's hard, man. I mean, it just is. But those guys are special. I wish we could see Kyler Murray in both sports, but it's just unrealistic.
I mean, look at Bo. I mean, I don't know if, you know, Bo basically running out of his own body, you know what I mean? And yeah. His body broke down, which everybody has a theory on what happened there. But, I mean, it's tough because for kids, you know, we used to joke around about how now you want to play all the sports, and nowadays it's the direct opposite. Kids get total specialization, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football.
Well, Mike, and the reason is because the kids that are specializing are getting so much better at that sport than you are. Mm. You're spending time doing all this other stuff. Meanwhile, I'm throwing fastballs and curveballs.
Right.
Next time you see me, I'm much better than you are.
But just like when I were in school, the best athlete is the best athlete of pretty much everything.
Yeah, they played everything. You're absolutely right. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hey, we're going to talk NFL football and certainly the AFC Championship and NFC Championship games this weekend. But Bruce Arians, and we talked a lot about this, goes on Adam Schefter's podcast and basically calls Antonio Brown a diva. Now, this is not a coach taking shots. Arians knows Antonio Brown.
Right.
He was there with Antonio Brown as Brown started to make his way in Pittsburgh. So he says, listen, I've heard so many stories. I like Antonio. This is Arians. He says he plays hard, but he's got to make better decisions off the field. Interesting stuff to say that a lot of the things that are going on are diva for Arians in regards to Antonio Brown.
Two seasons with him as the OC when he was a young rookie, then his second year. Antonio Brown has shown his true colors this offseason. Look, your season's on the line with your team, and you're screwing around, you know? And that's why, you know, we used to always compare him with Julio. Oh, you'll never hear that coming out of my pie hole. Julio is the man.
Hey, coming up, we're going to talk Falcons, guys. I know everybody's wondering about TAC. We do have an update. We'll tell you about it next.
Sports.
So, Mike, I just got this text message from our school district. It says, rising ninth grade families, a reminder that the realities of rigor parenting. The meeting is tonight from 6 till 8. Now, I'm not going to this meeting. My wife is. You talk about being scared. So my daughter's going to start high school next year. And I'm reading this and I'm going,
right.
Realities of rigor parenting. What the hell is going on? Like, what are you saying? The next 4 years of your life are going to be hell. What is exactly going to happen in this meeting that you need to, you know, the language needs to be such. Why can't you just say, parents meeting tonight. We're going to tell you about the joys of high school. The rigor, the realities of rigor. Parent meeting?
I mean, academic rigor?
Yes.
Life rigor?
Rigorous rigor? Doesn't that sound a little woo? Anyways.
I'm so glad I don't have children.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love kids in small doses. I coached Little League and stuff. I dated chicks that had kids and stuff. But I mean, you know, just all the stuff you guys got to deal with.
Oh, that's great, though.
Oh, my God.
It's fun.
I guess.
It is. And it gets better when they get older, trust me.
I mean, I just, you know, we had this conversation, you and I, a couple of years ago.
Because
I'd love to have a kid like Bill Cosby to say, until the poo-poo starts to smell, then send him away.
Yeah.
And then be able to have him to have a catch, and then, you know, have fun, and then when he was a teenager, send him away.
Yeah.
You know, and then hope that he comes back and takes care of you when you're, you know, in bed and you're 100 years old.
But there are elements.
Doesn't happen that way. I know
that. To every stage, though. I mean, like, the stage where they don't move and you can just put a baby down.
Right.
It's great. And then the stage when they start walking and talking, then it changes in every stage. But I hear you, Mike. You just weren't cut out for it.
No, no. And guy, it's funny because we have a real quick story, and we'll get on to it. I was telling this to Carl last week. My cousin Vinny. No, I actually do have a cousin Vinny. He's a second cousin, lives in Savannah. And he's Irish. He's got three kids, and he's right out of Central Casting. He looks like if you take Bob's Big Boy and Joe Pesci and put them together. Yeah. That's what you'd have. And he's like, you sure you don't want kids? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, come on. I thought by now you'd have kids. You've been married now 4 years. He's like, I don't want any. You know, he's one of those guys. It's like, yeah, I know you're having fun. Well, not when you're divorced. You're not having all the much fun. But like, you know, you're paying copious amounts of child support. But sounds like a lot of fun. But I said, no, I have no interest in this.
So you told him you don't want his life.
I told him. I said, look, for some people, I mean, I love my wife. I married my wingman. We have a lot of fun. We were talking about this last night with the folks in the suite at the Hawks game. Get to travel and do things. It's just funny because, like, I've got friends. They can't do things because they've got dogs, let alone children.
True.
I don't like to have any strings attached. You know that. Yeah. I want to be able to roll, man. Yeah. Be able to move.
No, listen, to each his own.
And I'm too irresponsible, ultimately. But beside all the things I just said, you got to know your limits. I'd be a terrible parent.
Well, I will give you credit on that because there are a lot of people who shouldn't have had kids. Okay? But they did.
Right.
So it is what it is. But yeah, that just scared me. I saw that text message popped up and I'm like, the rigors of reality. What is going on?
Thanks.
Either way, man, quick couple of news notes. We're going to talk some NFL football coming up at 3 o'clock. Austin Hooper, guys, going to the Pro Bowl. He is replacing Eagles tight end Zach Ertz. So this is good news for Hoop. We said it. And I felt like he was going to take a step in the right direction. We talked to him in the offseason. He said, listen, Matt and I spent a lot of time together, you know, practicing. And I think, you know, last year, and this is going back now two seasons, there was a disconnect at times. Right. Last season, this year, it seemed like they were on and on the same page in many cases. And he was the outlet guy. I'm talking about Hoop for Matt Ryan. So Hoop, man, deservingly going to the Pro Bowl, taking the place of Zach Ertz, and I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah, he statistically became a top five tight end. In fantasy league guys, you know how he's putting, obviously, points per league, or I should say points per reception leagues. He was always putting up big numbers. But, yeah, the guy has become a go-to, and it was kind of neat. It's the old-fashioned hard work. You know, Matt obviously had a lot on his plate with the birth of his two the twins, but Austin would show up, and we used to joke around like John Cusack and say anything. He'd have the boombox over his head. Want to go out and play catch? And then he and Matt would go to a high school or a field anywhere in Buckhead, and he'd be throwing a pigskin around, and it did pay dividends.
Yeah, so that's good news for the Falcons, and again, you know, it's one of those things, if you asked who personally, I mean, would you take a Pro Bowl appearance or be in the playoffs? Duh. You'd be in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, all this other stuff is extra.
Well, again, the Pro Bowl, you and I talked about this the other day with Rich McKay. It's meaningless. It's really meaningless. Now, people will watch because they still have an interest in football the week before the Super Bowl. But, you know, Hawaii was fun. The players were interested. Now the players aren't as interested. Mm-hmm. Guys are tapping out left and right. We see that all the time. And it just, I mean, doesn't have the juice. You know, you can't play football three-quarter speed either.
No, I don't know if this is ever going to change now that the rules have changed.
As long as you're getting TV numbers and they're making money off it, which they are, they'll continue.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going away. I'm just saying the way the game is thought about, at least from a player's perspective, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, Julio's not playing, Mike. Okay. I mean, nobody's upset, you know? It's one of those things.
Matter of fact, I don't want my guys doing anything when they're not playing football.
So I don't know if the mindset is going to change with the rules the way they are. And you said it, the Hawaii thing. And remember, at a time, there was once upon a time, this game was after the Super Bowl, right? It was where you had everybody participating. And then they went away from that. And I just don't know if you have all of the best players that really represent the season that they had, and you know, you congratulate them with a nice trip to Hawaii. I thought that was kind of cool. But either way, man, big shout-out to Austin Hooper. Hey, we were talking about Tack McKinley, guys, and we said we had an update. Yesterday, the news got out, and I know a lot of you were finding this out, but Tack was taken for a mental evaluation by L.A. police on Tuesday. He was not arrested, all right?
Right.
And, you know, it was not any situation where he had broken the law or anything like that. But D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporting today that Tack is back home in Oakland. And a team spokesperson, whoever that might have been, whether it was Dan Quinn or whomever, confirmed that that was the case. So for us, that's good news. I mean, this is not a situation where Tack is still being evaluated and this is an ongoing situation. But he was at a hotel with a friend who became concerned about McKinley and called the police. As Mike said, was this a misunderstanding? We don't know. We were not there. We have no idea.
Yeah. Male friend, female friend. What was the circumstance? Was there a party going on? Nobody knows. So, I mean, that's why, as we said, you know, there's no point in sitting here trying to speculate. You know, I mean, he's an emotional guy. You know, was that misinterpreted? We don't know. But just hope whatever it is, and if it is a legitimate concern, that he gets the help if he needs help.
Yeah. And by the way, I know some people have tried to relate this to other people and other players. Just don't. Just wait.
As we said, I mean, I read some stuff already on social media with guys going off, talking about going off half-cocked. I mean, you know, as you get older in this business, you try to kind of go with, you know, there's things you go with what you know, and if you don't know much, then you really shouldn't say much, right? And in the case of Tack, you know, we know the guy's a fiery guy. And like, if you want to take, a tweet or you want to take how he responded on stage and project that into what may have happened in a hotel, you have no idea. So why bother?
No, not at all. 404-741-0929 is the text number. I'm looking at a picture right now on social media. Atlanta United put it out there. Carlos Bocanegra, Darren Eales, and Joseph signing his deal. And
nice.
Put it in ink is the caption.
And by the way, you know, guys are hitting us up on Twitter saying, yes, you know, as we mentioned, he could go if a team came calling wanting to have a high-powered score. He's 25. I mean, that's the thing for Miggy. There's a window, too, when guys, you know, maybe there's a position where European teams, so maybe he's a little too old to pay that kind of money. You want to get the younger guy at the right time or the established superstar. Now, Miggy and Joseph are superstars in the MLS, but when you see the kind of money, and, you know, we saw what Neymar got when he went to Paris Saint PSG, and you saw, you know, what, even in Juventus, even at this stage of his career for Ronaldo and what they paid to Real Madrid. But, I mean, what are we looking for? I don't know. I would imagine it'd be north of $30 million for Joseph as well, which is what we presume is what they want for Miggy.
In soccer, no one's untouchable.
Right.
It's.
I mean, if there's a star player in England who goes down and then the English team's got the loot, then they call us.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's what I said earlier about us getting our head around this as United fans, because we're not used to that idea that, oh, he's going to be here. You know, Falcon signs for 3 or 5 years. He's going to be here. That may not be the case with our soccer players.
But as we said, let's hope that it is 5 years for Joseph, because he does indeed love it here. It's been commented on how much fun he's having, loves the environment, loves the fans. And, of course, you know, the fan groups, everybody sitting behind the goal. I mean, Joseph, as much as anybody else on that team, loves to interact with those guys, especially after the wins.
Yeah. Here's the deal for Joseph now. And guys, I don't think he repeats as far as the number. He put up crazy numbers this last season.
Who knows? Maybe with Frank DeBoer's system, he does even better.
Well, I hope so. But the deal is, Mike, now you have to be consistent. You know, this is like we talked about with Vic Beasley, related to football. You put up double-digit sacks. Now this is what we expect. We expect Joseph to be this dynamic scorer, and all of a sudden, is he going to be leading the league? I don't know about that. But I think he's going to contribute to our success and continue to be one of those special players. But I don't know if he puts up these kind of numbers again.
Well, I think, who knows? We don't know yet. I mean, one thing for certain, it's a funky start, because you heard about Barco. Barco's got the hyperextended knee, so he's going to miss a few games. And then we find out today that Franco Escobar breaks one of his collarbones in the practice yesterday. So not exactly the way you want to start. I'm just so glad we won the championship, because as short as this turnaround was, as we talked about up at United's headquarters, imagine if we hadn't won, right?
Yeah, it'd suck. Hey, guys, coming up, we're going to have some NFL conversation. You hear from Jerry Jones. They're going to give Jason Garrett a contract extension.
Oh, we are.
When you hear his soundbite, you understand where I'm coming from. Also, we'll hear from the guys that are participating in this weekend's games, including Andy Reid. Everyone's talking about how Andy Reid is going to blow this opportunity again. NFL Blitz is next. I get so
lost. Want to have a catch?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.